Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to see you today.
It's great to see you. Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Usually on Friday, we talk a lot about economic policies, and we concentrate on the Federal Reserve. And I'm sure we will continue to talk about that because it's something I've been talking about for a year or two, only a decade or two. You know, the importance of understanding the Federal Reserve and why government is too big and our liberties are under attack. And we'll mention the Federal Reserve a little bit today. But what I wanted to do, Chris, talk a little bit about the middle class. We do talk about the middle class and the Federal Reserve, how they destroy the money, you destroy the middle class, and they pretend they need all this spending and printed money to help the middle class, but it doesn't work that way. And there are other factors. Indirectly, they're related to what the Fed does, because if it's a government policy, they have to have money, and where do they get the money from? The Fed. So they are connected, but I want to talk a little bit about the individual things, some of the policies that we have. Currently, one thing I see that has really played havoc, we have the correction going on in the economic system with the stocks going down and a lot of chaos there. So middle class is suffering from that, and we are in a recession. It's only being tided over a bit because they're printing money like crazy. But we also have, the coronavirus to deal with, and that is hurting, I believe, the middle class more than anybody else, but it's also something that has become acceptable. So it's a real challenge to say, yes, the Federal Reserve is a big problem and they destroy the middle class ultimately, and it's a lack of understanding on that. But just think of the lack of understanding of how to deal with the coronavirus. Our position isn't to just ignore it, it's to pay attention to it and take care of it in a proper manner, but not to build up such hysteria and fear and getting people, doing things that are crazy. And once again, who suffers the most? We already noticed that it isn't the big corporations. Some of these big corporations are making more money than they ever made before, but it's the little shopkeeper, salons and different stores, and they're closed, and it looks like some of them say, we'll never open again. So middle class has really received a blow, and that's on top of the ongoing attack of the middle class, with the Federal Reserve System. So, Chris, I think that the American people feel that pain, but I don't know whether they thought of it in this terms, that it's the government that's destroying the middle class. It may be some blame placed on the people because they may be too complacent and they believe in the government. You tell us what to do and we'll wear our masks and everything's going to be okay. But ultimately, these policies, whether it's coronavirus or the Federal Reserve, it looks like it's doing great damage to our middle class.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And I wanted to create a big picture view of this. America really was, and I believe still is, the new world. It was created in a world and a history of that was just dominated by power, by elites living off of everybody else, top down from start to finish. Where you were born is where you would stay. There was no way for moving up, no mobility. And then here comes America with these ideas of individual liberty. And we created the biggest middle class to ever exist. Now, in a world of elite power, this is a huge problem. You have average people becoming independently wealthy without political attachments. So this was a big problem, and they've been fighting back ever since. Get rid of this idea of liberty. And as you pointed out, we can gauge by the middle class how successful they have been over these last centuries. And unfortunately, they have been successful in coronavirus, and how the small businesses, all the workers are getting hammered. This is the big picture, the ongoing battle of ideas that we're living.
Yes, and one thing that we have to show in America is the ability for the middle class to really thrive. Not at this moment, because we're on the downslope now for the middle class. The middle class is really hurting, and even though it's coming from the far left, the rich are getting richer, but it's not because of lack of socialism. It's too much of that government intervention. But we had the largest middle class ever. But we also, the period of time that you just referenced, is that we had the maximum amount of freedom of any group of people as a consequence of the roots of our nation coming from those founders who wrote the Constitution. And obviously one Constitution is going to be imperfect, and there's going to be imperfect people managing affairs, but the principle of liberty was defined, and great growth and prosperity. And of course, if I just look at this in my lifetime, things have changed tremendously, but it's probably longer than that since we've turned away from building the middle class to the point of undermining the middle class. And of course, I date some of our problems from the progressive educational system, the Federal Reserve, the income tax, the size of government, our foreign policy, but all these wonderful things that are done in the people so far have had to endorse them. They keep electing the people, and the Republicans and Democrats both support these principles, and they go ahead and support it. But the middle class keeps hoping, the politicians promise this. How many new jobs if they elect so-and-so? And they just pull these numbers out of the air. I'm going to create 34 million new jobs if you elect me to president. You know, they have no more concept than the man, the moon, and people. The more they promise, the more they lie to themselves, because they probably think about it, or they'll think, can I get away with these promises again? Because it never seems to pan out. And it's not unique. I mean, there are days when I feel some of this stuff coming from the far left is overwhelming. But the problems we face philosophically are very much bipartisan. And that's what we have to understand. And we have to understand where it comes from. It doesn't come from, the people demanding that they have their liberty taken away from them. It comes from the people being deceived into believing that the government can take care of them. And that's where the dependency comes. People get dependent on the government. They believe these stories because it's wishful thinking. Because the temptation is so great that, if you do this, you're going to have prosperity forever, and you won't have to worry about it. And instead of stopping and saying, hey, that's too good to be true. So the welfare system and the social system doesn't work. And what it does, the penalty falls on the laps and falls on the shoulders of the people who were energized to support it. And that is, the middle class votes for all this, and yet we want to talk about today is, no matter what program it is, whether it's, saving us from coronavirus or fighting these wars or whatever, the greatest penalty falls on the middle class and the loss of liberty. At the same time, it gives, the most annoying part is, at the same time, it gives an edge to the far left and say, see your system of liberty. See, the founders were completely wrong. We don't even like the Constitution. What we want are smart people running the country. And that is a philosophic challenge. And the middle class has to come around, because it's going to end when the middle class just walks away from this. And that's that'll be the day. I think it's starting already on coronavirus. People say, leave me alone. Unlock the doors. Let me go out. Let me go back to work. Let me open my business. But they say, yes, but somebody might die. And that is a stretch and a distortion, because nobody wants anybody to die. But Chris, what's been happening now? We're getting evidence now that more people are dying from the lockdown than they die from the virus. And yet there's always these promises, we're going to save you. We're going to save you from any financial problems, any health problems. We'll save you from coronavirus, and we're going to bring peace to the world. At the same time, we're building up the biggest military operation in the history of mankind.
Dr. Paul. As you mentioned, dependency is big. That's one of the ways that these old world ideas of elitism have been implemented to whittle away at the middle class. You know, they've been fighting back ever since 1776. And like you mentioned, central banking was one of the tools, because that politicized the money and the corporations, and the income tax was another huge one, where everything that you earn first belongs to the government, and they're going to decide how much you're going to keep of it. Then the wars, endless wars for over a century that we've been in, and that is the surest way to destroy the middle class of a country. And then finally, the dependency that you mentioned. Dependency is like oxygen to these people. You are to depend on them. And now we read, you know, in the news that 50% of this country somehow is getting federal money from the federal government. It's, you know, this is how you abolish the middle class, by helping them.
You know, and the opposition to our views are always painting the picture that we don't care, and that people are going to die because of our policies, and they really make it very dramatic. Some of them probably think that our way would never work. Freedom doesn't solve all these problems, and they need smart people. We need more Pelosi's of the world in Congress, and they're going to save us from ourselves. You know, there's too much of that. But when they argue this case, we have to have a better answer in saying, yeah, we want to do away. See, well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no authority in the Constitution for us to have a government running the medical care system. And the more and longer they run it, the worse it gets. But the answer to this is that up until recent decades, these problems were taken care of through voluntarism. That doesn't sound like a horrible term. Voluntarism, people are thriving, they have jobs, you have sound money, and then if you have problems to solve, it's going to be through voluntarism. All associations will be voluntary, economic association as well as social associations. It would be all be done by voluntarism. But the option for that, if you're not in favor of voluntarism, you have to accept the principle of authoritarianism. And it sounds like, well, there's at times we have to have the authoritarians, otherwise there'll be violence in the streets, which is not true anyway. But they say, well, we'll have to have some authoritarianism, and therefore incrementally now for 100 years they've been increasing the size and scope of government at the expense of personal liberty, at the expense of the middle class thriving. So the people are careless about accepting the authoritarians. People should be fearful and skeptical of the authoritarians, because they'll say, well, the authoritarians will only send the smart people to Washington. Yeah, that's a joke. They still claim that. It's a mess in Washington, and still the people come and they say, you just need better management. You need to, none of this $3 trillion bailout in 6 months and take care of the wealthy. No, they're going to argue whether it's $3 trillion or $2.5 trillion, but the principle is always the same. Authoritarianism, they don't ask the question, where does this come from? We've got to help the middle class. Ultimately, it comes from the middle class, because you destroy the value of the money and it disrupts the economy. So the middle class gets smaller and smaller. And that's why in recent years, I've become more skeptical about getting out of this smoothly and quickly, because it's so overwhelming and it's a little bit different than it's been in the past. Our country in my lifetime came together, you know, during the wartime and 9/11 and these different things. And because the nation was seen as being attacked from the outside, the enemy was outside. But today, the enemy is on the inside. It's an internal problem. It's a philosophic problem. And it's much more difficult to determine and change people's attitude, because right now, everybody's scurrying around to get their part of the piece of the pie. But there's only one problem with that. Ordinarily, at the beginning, the pie is pretty big and everybody gets a little piece of the pie. But the pie is getting much smaller and the demands are growing much more. And we have interrupted the productivity of the people. And the Fed has done it, but so has the exaggeration of the danger of coronavirus, and really the distortion of dealing with and understanding what the movement toward Black Lives Matters, how that has disrupted the inner cities. The cities are actually the big cities. The more authoritarian they are, the more likely these cities are burning down. So their answers for this, and they can be found, as far as I'm concerned, in the ideas of liberty. And we can look at it, you know, this might be simplistic. We can look at it, should we help the middle class? Yes, but of course we should help everybody. But everybody can be helped, and if you really want to help the middle class, because there's more middle class now than any other one group, you have to release them. And yet we are locking them down. We lock them down with a financial system where the wealthy get wealthier, and then we lock them down literally, with this illusion about the coronavirus is going to kill everybody. And this means people need to wake up, decide what they want, and when it comes, you know, what we need to do is just do like they did in the Soviet system. They just quit. Just think, the Soviet system collapsed without any nuclear bombs. The ideas of the West, which were imperfect, won out over the total authoritarianism of the Soviets. And but it was the people. It wasn't the government that invaded and tore down the Berlin Wall. It was the people that went and chiseled away. So we need the people to get active and start chopping down, knocking down these walls of authoritarianism that holds us back. And that is the only way we can restore the greatness of America.
Very good, Dr. Paul. I'm going to finish up with good news and bad news. I'll start with the good news. Human beings are free, naturally. It's our nature, and nature cannot be changed. We think independently, we value things independently of one another, and we choose how to act, what goals we have. This can't be changed. So the desire to monitor and regulate everyone and everything without triggering a reaction that these elites wouldn't expect is impossible. It cannot be done. So long-term, they cannot win. They can't ever know all of the unknowns or even all the variables that exist. So this is very good news in the long term. The bad news is the short term. They can make life very miserable in trying to achieve the impossible. Look through history, all the crazy ideas that have been tried that never had a chance, but that hundreds of millions of people ended up dying anyway because of some, a few ambitions of the elites. So the more people that understand individual liberty, the better, the more we can push back against these old ideas that want to shove everybody back to this top-down world where the elites control everything. Hopefully we're contributing to bringing that about.
Yeah, there's a word that was coined by the libertarians, and it's not used very often now, but it had been. And that is transtoffel, and that is there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And someday we're all going to wake up and realize there isn't. That means we need to go back to work, and we need, how do we want the government to help us? Because the government can really provide us for it. Just get out of our way. If there is to be a role for government, and there is, and that should be to protect our liberties. And therefore, they have to protect law and order. I mean, if you have the shooting in the streets, you'd have to have some order, and you'd have to have some rules about property rights and contracts, which were all well understood in our early history, but we have forgotten that so far. And this is not much more complicated about it, but, you know, I have always seen that this philosophy is common sense. And I wonder, people say, when did you get started this? When did you understand this? And we ask that question a whole lot. And I think we're born with it. The people who finally conclude, yeah, you know, I've thought about this, but this is what I believe. I believe freedom is better than slavery. I believe that limited government is better than authoritarian government. And I believe in sound money. And I believe in a policy that leads more to peace than to war. And it's not that complicated, and there's going to be a greater need than ever, because we're on the road to, as Halleck said, road to serfdom. And for that 50% now, in the wiping out of the middle class, they are becoming serfs. The serfdom is here, and right now there's no signs in Washington that they're going to change. We're going to have an election, and there are some advantages one over the other one. But the spending is going to continue, and the distortion of the economy is going to continue. There's going to be special interests who are going to benefit from this. And unfortunately, if we don't change, we're going to have more violence in the street. So there's a lot at stake. And yet, once again, if the middle class just stood up and it were enough and just say, I've had enough of this. And in a way, we've seen some of that, you know, with coronavirus. You know, the rules were very, very strict. And some people just went and they put enough pressure on their governor and says, yeah, you win. I'm opening. Open up the doors. You can go and organize. You can go out for dinner again. you know, it can happen, but we have to energize the people, and they have to be willing to stand up and say, I want my freedom back again. So that's our goal here, and I think it's an achievable goal, and it's a necessary goal, but it won't come easily. So Christopher, I want to go ahead and close, you know, with this, and just direct this attention to the viewers today to thank them so much for tuning in, especially on our Fridays when we talk about the Federal Reserve and the middle class and the undermining that occurs. So, and once again, I am pleased that we do have a growing audience, and hopefully you'll come back to visit the Liberty Report soon.